Hello, I'm Claire.
Hello, my name's Jo and I'm sign language interpreter here today. For me, it's very emotional because this is a public space. It's really visible and it's really enjoyable. For me, I just feel it's a start of acceptance in the mainstream community.
And I thought it was really good that, the mayor and the MP and others were learning sign language to be able to go on stage. And that was really powerful.
Oh, yes, honestly, it gave me goosebumps. My eyes were watering. As I was growing up, sign language was banned and I wasn't allowed to sign. So I wasn't accepted in that way. And if I look at the difference, if we fast forward now, I'm not going to say how many years we're fast forwarding, but if we fast forward a few years, if you think you've got hearing people, the mayor, the leader of the council, they're really proud to sign on the stage in front of other people. And isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it really makes me feel accepted and valued as a human. And really my dream is that we have a world where people aren't frightened to approach deaf people. There's still some of the medical side that really want you to rely on hearing aids and cochlear implants. We're not against those. They're good. They're helpful. They can help. But you need both together. You need sign language as well. If a child has a cochlear implant at around 18 months, and it takes 2 years before they reach their full potential with that. So that's 3.5 years that they're not hearing full language, that they don't have access to that language. That's an enormous gap. They could have had sign language during that time, and that would support them to learn English as well. So the message isn't quite out there yet.
And we know communication for everybody is so important. So do you think that BSL now being a recognised language, is that going to lead to, BSL becoming part of everyday life?
Oh, I do hope so. For me, it is an everyday thing. It's my language. It's my natural language. And it's the best thing that we've got legal recognition finally last year. Because otherwise it's like, am I a legal person? It's my language, But we've got a long way to go. But it's step by step. We will get there. We will get there. With your support, we will get there.
And do you think events like BSL Fest today, the public doing their shopping, walking around Guildford, seeing what you're doing, do you think that's maybe going to lead to people asking questions and maybe wanting to learn to include deaf people more in society?
I'd really hope so. Come and join us is what I say. Deaf people are just people. We're nice. Well, most of us are nice. It's the same as everybody else. We have a laugh. And it's a lovely, warm, welcoming community. So it would be lovely to have a more inclusive community.
And that has really come across today. Everyone's been so lovely, so welcoming, so inclusive. So this is your second BSL Fest. What does the future hold? Are you going to be having more? I mean, obviously, a lot of work goes into it, but would you like to see more BSL Fests in the future?
Yeah, it's hard work. But next year, we're hoping to go to Manchester. Not we're hoping, but we actually are going to Manchester. That will be in April next year. After that, I haven't got any firm plans yet, but I'm aiming that we'll spread out all over the UK.
Claire, lovely to speak to you face to face, to see you and to see what you're doing here today. It's really lovely.
And it's lovely to see you as well, that you're here, and thank you for coming. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
So my name's Sammy Villamon. I'm a British Sign Language interpreter.
And how long have you been doing that?
I was fully qualified in 2018, so a few years now.
So what's involved in becoming a qualified interpreter for BSL?
So it's quite a lot of work, actually. So you've got to get fluent in the language first and then do your interpreter training on top of that. So all in all, it's about 7 years worth. Okay. So
a lot of hard work, but you know, you got there. You're now sort of fully trained. But what was it that sparked the interest first to do this sort of work?
For me, I'd always sort of seen sign language around, thought it would be something nice to learn. So when I had an opportunity after I left school, I did a level one evening class in a local college and was hooked from there on. It wasn't my plan after that to go on to interpret, but I couldn't walk away from this thing that I found. So I then went to university, studied it as a degree, and then did my postgrad interpreter training afterwards.
What's interesting about BSL is there's, and we're saying and finding out, you know, there's the British Sign Language, Irish Sign Language, there's different sort of regional variations. And accents and all sorts.
Yeah. Just like any language, really, the same as English. The more people use it, it gets adapted and it evolves with the people who use it. So, yeah, we can spot a deaf person from Manchester versus someone from down south or someone from Scotland. They have an accent and a dialect, just like you see in English. Yeah.
Not a lot of people wouldn't realise that.
No. Keeps us on our toes as interpreters. Yeah. We need to know all the variations.
A bit. And so, if somebody was looking to learn sign language, what would be the first step, do you think?
Find a course run by a deaf person. That's my number one recommendation. There's a company called Signature who offer qualifications. Their website lists all the courses around. So go onto the Signature page and find a deaf run course.
Okay. And in terms of access to interpreters, how would a deaf person, how would they book you or one or someone else if they needed interpretation?
So some of us work for ourselves and you can contact us directly. Our details are on the NRCPD website. But if you've got an appointment or something like that, normally the person hosting the appointment is responsible for booking us. So just tell them that's what you need and then they'll find a way of getting in touch with us.
And what about if things come up, you know, last minute appointments, emergencies and things like that? I mean, is that a challenge for someone who's deaf to be able to get somebody to provide interpretation?
Yeah, it really is. And it's a problem that deaf people face. If you think about medical appointments, often deaf people are told they need to wait 2-3 weeks before they can see someone because an interpreter needs to be found. There are these sort of live video interpreting softwares that are starting to be used more, and they're not ideal for medical things. They're not, you know, but they do fill a gap if someone really needs care in an urgent setting. So
people, deaf people are being told, you know, to bring family, friends with you. And that's not going to be the best thing to do if you've got a private medical matter you want to discuss.
Yeah, well, and from both sides, you know, the adult wants privacy, nor do you want your child to have to pass on, say, a cancer diagnosis or something really serious. That's an awful position to put someone in. So, yeah, really, really not an appropriate choice. That's why there are professional interpreters out there to cover those types of situations.
Do you think we're becoming more understanding of a deaf community as a society now?
I think so. I think there's been some really good momentum this last year. We've had some great TV appearances with Rose on Strictly, and now we've got a deaf baker on the Bake Off. I think even British Sewing Bee had a deaf contestant last year. So all this exposure is great, and the BSL Act too. So hopefully more and more people will learn and engage with the amazing deaf community we have here in the UK.
Okay, so from today, I mean, have you found lots of people stopping you? You know, you've got your lovely pink tabard on. People, maybe members of public walking past, sort of asking questions and asking about what you do?
Yeah, it's been a really fantastic day for that, actually. Everyone seems really interested, and I think that's what's nice. And the aim of BSL Celebration is to make BSL feel a little more accessible. It can be intimidating when you don't know a language, and we're aware of that. So it's nice to kind of be somewhere, be visible, be public, and have people hopefully feel they can approach and ask questions and get involved.
Yeah, and this is key. You know, a lot of people may be sort of scared, not know how to approach a deaf person, but, you know, they're human beings just like the rest of us, you know, so there should be nothing to be scared of.
No, exactly. And the most important thing is giving it a try, you know. Yeah. If you can even just wave hello. People always ask, what's the sign for hello? Well, it's to wave hello. You know, communication is fundamental in a lot of ways. So just, yeah.
And what I think is one memory I'll take away from today is, you know, the mayor of Guildford and the MP and others sort of learning sign language to deliver those speeches in such an inclusive way. I mean, that was just beautiful.
It's an incredible moment to see. And I think sign language so often is sort of placed on the sides or as entertainment. But to see politicians and people of power really choosing to do something in sign language when they didn't need to, there was an interpreter there. It's really powerful and was quite emotional for us to watch. So
imagine it's sort of got me thinking as well, you know, all the things you do day to day, watching the TV, you know, even waiting for your order number to be called out in someone on McDonald's or something. You know, there's so many barriers that people still face.
Do you know what, it's car parks that always get us, all those things with intercoms to get into the gym or into a car park or into a building. And it's all these things that are, you know, sort of small things you would think, but when that's your daily existence facing these little things, they really grind at you. And so, you know, there's things we can do, and I think we are seeing progress, but the more the better.
And for you, what's the best thing about, you know, being doing what you do? What's the best thing about your job?
I feel really privileged to be able to work within the deaf community. It's an amazing culture, an amazing group of people that, you know, have welcomed me in, and I now get to learn this language and work with them, and I get to go into some amazing places to work, you know, study for degrees that I never studied, you know, work with people in positions of jobs that I don't have myself, and so I get to see into all of these worlds, and I'm welcomed in by deaf clients, and yeah, it's an amazing job. I love it.
And just thinking about, you know, if somebody, a hearing person, is communicating via an interpreter, I mean, how is there anything that they can do to make it easier? Should they speak slower or what's it?
We get asked this a lot. Yeah. Generally, no. Do your thing as normal. We want a good interaction to feel as normal as possible. You know, we might let you know that we need you to just wait a second while we catch up and things like that. And always try and focus your attention on the deaf person, not the person whose voice. But that is it feels a little bit unnatural. We're used to looking at the person speaking, but making sure you're giving your attention to the deaf person is probably the only thing to be aware of.
Yeah. So the interpreter's sort of in the background there.
Yeah, a little bit. It's not about us. You're speaking with a deaf person and they're speaking with you. So that's what you want to focus on. Yeah.
It's been really interesting to speak to you and hear about what you do. And just so important, isn't it? Just to include everyone. I mean, communication is a basic human right.
Yeah, and hopefully today is really showing the value of including deaf people. They have so much to offer as a society, and so yeah, we're here to celebrate that, and I think we've done a great job today.
My name's Julia. I am the head of communications and fundraising at the British Deaf Association.
So first of all, BSL Fest here in Guildford, what are your thoughts on what's happening today?
Well, I think it's been great. This is my first time doing a BSL Fest, so it's been really fun to engage with the deaf community and also get to explain BSL to people who aren't aware of it.
And a lot of people are in the town centre, a lot of people just walking about doing what they do on a Saturday. Have you a lot of people coming over and maybe sort of showing an interest in learning sign language?
Yeah, definitely. We have finger spelling cards, so we've been giving those out to people, and on the back of them it actually is Irish sign language as well, which people weren't aware existed, so we've had some good conversations on that as well.
See, that's really interesting. You think of sort of, you know, the languages we use being different languages, different countries, but actually BSL, there's different versions of it.
Yeah, so there's British Sign Language and then there's Irish Sign Language. So yeah, it's quite interesting. There's so much to learn that people aren't aware of. And our language has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years.
And your organisation, the British Deaf Association, you've been around for many, many years yourself, haven't you? So how did you come into begin?
Yeah, so we began in 1890, which was 10 years after the Milan Conference, which took place in 1880, which essentially banned the use of sign language. So in 1890, we started our campaign to fight against that and fight for deaf equality and deaf rights.
So that decision all those years ago, that has had a massive impact, hasn't it, on the deaf community still today, you know, in recent years?
Yeah, it still continues today, and that's why we're fighting, you know, 100 and almost 40 years later. You know, we're still working at it, and it's so important until everyone has equality.
So why do you think BSL, why would that have been banned? What was the sort of reasoning behind that?
Yeah, I just think, you know, it was a minority and people just thought that it was wrong. And, you know, if you weren't using, you know, verbal language, it was just frowned upon, and that's awful.
Yeah. Well, the attitudes are changing, and, you know, we have BSL now as a recognised legal language. So what do you think that means for deaf community?
I think that means more inclusivity. We're fighting for bilingualism, which is super exciting. We want to get it in all stages of life, from birth until death, and just have everyone feel more included and, yeah, part of society.
Yes. I can imagine, you know, all sorts of barriers that we've been hearing about today from the deaf community. Things that, you know, us hearing people, we may not even have thought about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to go to the doctor as someone who's deaf, you normally have to book an interpreter, and that could take a few weeks. Yeah. Someone who would just want to go to the GP very quickly or A&E, you wouldn't be able to. You'd have to wait a while to get help, and that's not accessible.
So how do you, your sort of your hashtag taking BSL forward. So how do you do that?
Yeah, so we've started a 10-year strategy based off of the BSL Act passing last year to essentially implement BSL into the UK in the next 10 years. So we have different strategies focused around protect, preserve, prepare, and strengthen, and integrating that into society that way.
Okay. So important, and hopefully being here today with that visible presence, I think it's really kind of brings the deaf community out of the shadows into the forefront of people's minds as they're walking past.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm really excited for the conversation people have been having as well.
Absolutely, that's what it's all about, communication, which is a basic human right, whether you're deaf or whether you're hearing, you know, you have the right to communicate and be part of your community.
Exactly, yeah. And it's so important. Yeah.
Absolutely. How can we find out more about the work you do?
So you can go to thebda.org. You can follow us on any of our social media. We post regularly updates about what we're doing, things in the community, and we're always open for a discussion.
And do you find that some people, maybe hearing people, may find it a little bit intimidating, maybe, and a bit sort of not sure how to approach deaf people? Are you finding that?
I think it's really just important to have the confidence to have that conversation. The community as a whole, you know, wants to have that conversation, is excited about having that conversation. So, you know, if you are hesitant, and some people might be, just like, you know, average person is hesitant, just reach out, have a question, you know, it's important to have these discussions.
Absolutely. Lovely to talk to you, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thank you.